The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
herb. Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now... Here's your host, Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to our show. It is Friday, January 14th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, and joining us also from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, Russ.
Hi there.
Welcome to Friday.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. I was having trouble dialing you the first time around, but we got you now. And
excellent.
It's going to be a kind of a tough day for me because unfortunately Ganja John can't be here today. I understand that he's very ill, but we do have our special Ganja John cam. You know, we installed that camera and microphone into his false eye. And apparently now he's able to eat. He's made it to a restaurant. Let's tune in with Ganja John here, see how he's doing.
Good afternoon, sir, and how are we today?
Better get a bucket. I'm gonna throw up.
Gaston, a bucket for monsieur.
Maybe John's not feeling so well. It looks like he's gone to this nice restaurant. They're sitting him at the table now. Let's see how well he does here. The waiter's gonna ask him to order, I believe. Oh no! This is no good.
Merci, Gaston.
This is no good. I'm sorry. We're gonna have to cut the Ganja John cam. That's kind of disgusting. We hope you do better, Ganja John. Hope you're feeling better as the day moves on. We got a great show for today. Coming up on today's show, we've got our Herb Thrasher with our daily toker tunes for Rockin' Friday, bringing us a tune from Simplified called Wake and Bake. Then at half past the hour, it's the second Friday of the month, so we visit with David Bienenstock, the West Coast editor of High Times magazine, for a preview of the new issue of High Times, plus a look forward to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver, Colorado. And then at the end of the show, a little bit of radical ranting. I'm going to talk about some Oregon proposals as well as some other states to drug test people for state assistance and benefits. But before we get to all of that, Cannabis Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after this first break. Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, you know, we are coming up on a long holiday weekend, so I've packed a lot of news in the hemp headlines today. It wasn't a great day or a great last 24 hours for some of the school workers in America that happen to be cannabis consumers. Also, we're going to do an update on the New Jersey medical marijuana program, where that's standing. I've got a snippet from Rhode Island, and also a terrible story, another botched raid in New York State. We're going to talk about all that on the hemp headlines today.
All right. All that's coming up a little bit later. And of course, in hour two, we get to your Toker Talk Radio, where you can call in on the topics that we cover out throughout this day and make your voice heard throughout the cannabis community. The phone number is 971-533-7111. And we'll start taking calls in the next hour. Stay tuned. Your hemp headlines are next. This is Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's Today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Police arrested a cafeteria manager at a Jefferson County high school in Colorado on Thursday and accused her of giving marijuana to teenagers at the school. Michelle Whitmire of Golden, Colorado was arrested after an officer visited her home around 9:30 p.m. to arrest a different individual and smelled burning marijuana in the house. The affidavit from the police said that three teenagers in the home were questioned and they told the police that the marijuana was coming from the 51-year-old's room and that she was a medical marijuana patient. One teen told the officers that she, quote, gives it to all the kids, unquote. That teenager also told police the names of high school, middle school, and elementary school age children that he says Whitmire had given marijuana. Whitmire has worked for the district for 6 years, and she has now been placed on administrative leave while pending an investigation. She was able to post a $10,000 bond, and she is charged with distribution of marijuana and contributing to the delinquency of a minor, according to a news release from the Jefferson County District Attorney Office.
Wow, Carrie, my lunch ladies were never that cool in high school. Can you believe it? This is a sad story because it's not as if I'm terribly terrified about what the health effects would have been on the kids from the lunch lady giving them pot. I mean, it's not a good idea. We don't want kids using weed, but it's not as if she was supplying to them alcohol, which I would have had a bigger problem with. What I really have the problem with, though, is the way that it looks, the way that it plays in the media, that we got the lunch lady giving pot to kids, and of course that's going to be with her being a medical marijuana patient, that's going to cast aspersions on the medical marijuana program. Don't be supplying kids with weed. It's important that we set a good example and make young people understand that we're serious about marijuana use being a responsible thing for adults to be able to do. Kids shouldn't be using cannabis unless it's for medical use under a doctor's supervision. There is plenty of evidence to show that the developing adolescent brain reacts badly to regular marijuana use. So we can't say that marijuana use is harmless, especially amongst young people. It's a bad precedent to set, and I'm sorry to have to have heard it.
And a Broward, Florida elementary school principal is in jail after police have arrested her for drug possession. Dr. Amanda Miles, a 60-year-old principal at Coral Park Elementary School in Coral Springs, was arrested this morning along with her son before she could make it to school. Police searched her home and found marijuana and drug paraphernalia in her bedroom. Now, her son, Michael, was also arrested, but his charges hint that it was his charges that was the reason that the police were there in the first place. He is suspected of possessing of cannabis with intent to deliver. Coral Park Elementary School was recently awarded an A-plus grade by the state for academic achievement. Detectives found cannabis in plain view in her master bedroom, including marijuana in a glass jar on the nightstand next to her bed and a wooden pipe with fresh weed residue and rolling papers next to it. When police asked where the marijuana came from, Miles said she did not wish to comment.
Okay, so the elementary school principal likes to smoke a little marijuana at home near her bedstand. I mean, why is this even an issue? This is the safest possible anxiety drug that she could be taking. She's a whole lot better off representing the kids by using cannabis than using alcohol, where she might be coming to work the next day all hungover, exhibiting bad judgment. It's sad how we have to demonize people that are making the choice of using cannabis. But if we'd have heard about her being on any sort of mood-altering drug, Paxil, Xanax, anything prescribed by a doctor, nobody would have even batted an eye. Let's just legalize marijuana so we can stay out of people's private business and stop ruining the lives of educators and good people whose only vice seems to be that they like to smoke a joint at the end of the day.
On the heels of New Jersey's medical marijuana law debacle, we'll call it, the state health department in New Jersey has released a revised set of rules to govern New Jersey's medical marijuana program. The latest rules were released just one day after the bill's sponsor, Senator Nicholas Scutari, announced that there would be a January 20th hearing to repeal the rules that the department announced back in October. The rules, according to activists, were too strict to make the program workable. The setback has threatened the very existence of the long-fought-for medical marijuana program in the state. The Department of Health and Human Services for the state also made available a how-to guide for anyone who wants to bid on the licensing rights to run one or more of the now six alternative treatment centers that would dispense medical cannabis. The last set of rules allowed only four growing centers. To put in your bid in New Jersey, you would need to pay the license cost, which is $20,000. But if your bid is not accepted, you will be able to get $18,000 of that refunded to you. Senator Scutari said that the state was finally taking some action because of the hearing he had called. And despite the acrimony between Senator Scutari and the Governor Christie administration, he said he's holding out hope for a compromise. He is still working to get the state to remove the proposed limit on potency and the requirement that doctors must get addiction training. He says as the rules stand now, there is another obstacle every step of the way. He isn't standing alone in his criticism of the program. The American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey has also taken issue with some of the health department's proposed medical marijuana rules. The ACLU doesn't care for the state's preventing dispensaries from advertising their products or sharing prices over the telephone. According to a letter that the ACLU of New Jersey's legal director, Ed Baracus, who wrote to the health department yesterday, said, quote, "The ban on advertising is a severe limitation on the commercial speech rights of the dispensaries and acts as a near-complete ban on the constitutional rights of patients to obtain such information and to thereby compare pricing." The new rules reflect an agreement that Governor Chris Christie reached with the law's assembly sponsor, Reed Gascoria, a Democrat of Mercer, that allowed for the original six dispensaries to operate instead of the four that the administration was trying to limit it to. He said he hopes that the new regulations can be expanded upon, but he said he believes that for the time being, the proposed regulations will allow patients to seek the necessary treatment and relief. That is, if they can decide on how and when to implement the much-anticipated program.
Oh, shame on Governor Chris Christie once again for opposing the will of the people, opposing the bill as it was passed, and still allowing the critically sick and disabled and sense-threatened people of New Jersey from accessing the safest, most effective drug that they could use, medical marijuana, for many of their conditions. You know, this bill was written originally and passed a year ago as of, I think, Tuesday. It was passed January 11th of 2010. And in that bill, it specifically said that it was for people who had terminal conditions, who had less than 12 months to live. Well, guess what, Governor? 12 months have passed since that bill has been passed. And certainly some of those terminal patients have died without getting the relief from medical marijuana that is the law in New Jersey. It's the law. The law has been passed, and now you are stonewalling with every single despicable, underhanded, bureaucratic trick in the books to try to keep people from getting medical marijuana. Governor Christie, you keep saying that New Jersey's not going to turn into California or Colorado, but you're keeping New Jersey like Oklahoma. You're continuing to lock up sick and disabled people when you have a law on the books that deals with compassion and compassionately helps those people to deal with their symptoms. Shame on you, Chris Christie.
The state of Rhode Island passed their medical marijuana legislation back in 2006, and now the Rhode Island Health Department has announced that they have accepted 18 applications from people interested in opening compassion centers that would distribute medical marijuana. The addition of the distribution centers for medical cannabis was approved last year under a plan that allows medical marijuana to be sold to registered patients at three nonprofit businesses that have been dubbed compassion centers by the department. This is the second time the department has accepted applications. Officials restarted the process after none of the initial applications qualified. Rhode Island is one of the few states that has a reciprocity clause in their program, so patients from other states could purchase medical cannabis when they are in the Ocean State. The health department said that it would review the 18 applications and hold a public hearing on them on February 7th.
Oh, watch out now, Rhode Island. Governor Christie down there just south of New Jersey saying you're going to turn into California and Colorado if you do that. Why, there's no way you can have a safe, effective program managed by the state that has dispensaries. The whole world will go to hell in a handbasket. You know I'm kidding, of course. Kudos to Rhode Island for accepting those 18 applications and having a little bit more forethought and compassion than the state of New Jersey.
And police conducting raids in New York State yesterday terrorized a Spring Valley family over an error in addresses. Spring Valley is just 22 miles north of Manhattan, and raids conducted by the Spring Valley Police with help from the DEA targeted citizens in their area. Mount Vernon, the Bronx, and the Albany area, along with coordinated raids in northern New Jersey and the Albany area and parts of Pennsylvania. It amounted to the arrest of 23 people and involved more than 200 police officers and about 13 different governmental agencies. But it was an innocent family that found themselves waking up to a nightmare. David McKay, along with his wife, his brother-in-law, and his 13-year-old daughter, were sleeping at 5:30 a.m. yesterday morning when they heard a loud banging on their door of their townhouse. When they went to open the door, around 10 officers shoved their way into the home with their guns drawn, screaming, "Where's Michael? Where's Michael?" Groggy from sleep, McKay tried to explain that there was no one named Michael in the house, and that is when they pulled Mr. McKay outside in the freezing cold, wearing only his underwear. Now, I looked up the weather yesterday at 5:30. It was 25 degrees with a wind chill of about 18 degrees. Oof. According to McKay, they manhandled his wife and pointed a gun at the head of their 13-year-old daughter. The officers also threatened to shoot the family's poodle if they didn't cooperate and forced the entire household to wait outside in front of curious neighbors in their sleeping clothes while they secured the house. Hours later, David McKay had to take his terrified daughter for treatment to a local hospital after she suffered an asthma attack and fainted during the ordeal. Now, from the hospital, McKay said that the whole thing was terrifying and humiliating beyond belief. He told the New York Journal News that they wouldn't even tell him why they were in the house. The large marijuana sting operation realized their mistake, and the police prepared to leave McKay's home while the bewildered family was asking them again why they were in the house. The only answer they got from one of the officers is, quote, "You'll read about it in the paper tomorrow," unquote. A short time later, he noticed the police a few houses down on the same side of his street, presumably at the correct address this time. David McKay said he recognized some of the Spring Valley officers from his work in the community. He's worked for a local sewer department for more than 13 years. He's also a foster parent and very involved with community activities. Now, for their part, the Spring Valley police so far have declined to address McKay's accusations, and they said they were referring all questions about the raid to the DEA.
This is just another one of the 100 to 150 paramilitary acts of terrorism that are perpetrated every day on American citizens over marijuana. The only reason this one makes the papers, is because it took place at the wrong address. This was part of a federal indictment of 26 people who have been alleged to smuggle about 1,000 kilograms of cannabis around the local area since mid-2006. Wow. After 5 years, 10 pounds of marijuana per week just got removed from the underground economy in the greater New York area. And only one innocent family had to be terrorized. Only one 13-year-old girl had to have an automatic weapon pointed at her head. Only one family had to be humiliated and embarrassed amongst all of their neighbors, seeing SWAT teams and drug agents and dogs coming to their house, suspecting them of being some sort of drug dealers. That's the kind of collateral damage we see every day in this war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. All you people out here who think, well, gee, I don't smoke pot, so I got nothing to fear, this is what you have to fear. All right, and that means that I need to go back to my happy place. We're going to take a break and let a little Lemon Pledge clean away the stains from my soul just having to read those stories. Be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
Said, hey, do you have a joint cancer? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Oh, lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Just lie to don't hide it. Fire it up right now.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music brought to you by Herb Thrasher at herbthrasher.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, Tokers. We're headed to the weekend, and you can't do the weekend right without getting a little rock in there, and we bring Herb Thrasher on the line to help us do that. How you doing, Herb?
All right, man. What's going on, Russ? How's everyone doing today in the chat room?
Doing
and Ganja John, dude, what's up with that dude today, man?
He's got a case of the
You know, sometimes he might should leave that camera at home, you know, and not do his wet restaurants like that every now and then.
That's pretty disgusting, don't you think?
You know, that Ganja John, I swear, we can't take him anywhere. All right, guys. So hopefully you guys are ready to rock. We have another great rock tune today. It's one of the reasons why I'm a rocker, always been a rocker. We have so many different styles, and we got another style today. And so for this band right here, it all started with the Wake and Bake. And the band I'm talking about is Simplified. Expands cleverly on music that sounds familiar but is decidedly different. Tunes trip down a trail of neatly packaged stories, chocked with innovative musicianship, classy, cool lyrics, and authentic vocals. Simplified manages a unique and singular musical kingdom, shuffling from sweet ballads to guitar-driven power rock songs to reggae-tinged sing-alongs. The magnetic quality of Simplified is anchored in authenticity, and it's indeed this pure, uncomplicated approach to music and performance that keeps fans engaged and supportive. Since its inception, Simplified has played thousands of shows. The band's album, Live at the Vishuite, captured the dynamic energy of a Simplified performance, and the group polished tunes from the live record with the release of studio recordings. Smile and Elephant in the Sky, both hugely popular among reviewers as well as fans. Simplified status as a popular power quartet garnered innovations to share the stage with Blues Traveler, Edwin McCain, and the Wailers. Simplified has cultivated a musical presence as well as visual statement as NASCAR's Media Group's Emmy Award-winning Camp Riley directed and produced the group's stunning videos of Home and Sugar Tree. So that's a nice accomplishment for them on NASCAR, that's for sure.
Yeah.
2010 shows no signs of slowing down as the band has been invited to play at the 7th annual Walker Russo Music Festival, which showcases several well-known acts and attracts thousands of fans. Never contrived or calculated, Simplified continues to cultivate a roots movement, placing songs, performance, and fans first. The intrinsic, genuine energy of Simplified's music raises the band above the fray, outside the ordinary, and into the future. So you can check out these guys on www.simplifiedmusic.com. They also have a MySpace, myspace.com/simplifiedband. And so kick back, get your pieces ready, guys, and enjoy good old-fashioned Wake and Bake. Rock on. Horns
up. Right. This is Wake and Bake by Simplified.
Little ride on that magic bus. So come on, let's get it right now.
TikTok for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
Hey everybody, time for Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar. Just a quick couple of notes for you on the calendar today. Tonight, I will be performing at the Tillicum Club in Beaverton, Oregon. And if you want to check out our Stash feed, Normal Show Live feed, I'll show up in one of the corner cam windows if you want to take a look and listen. That'll be tonight, 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. Just check back here on the stream. But a much more important announcement has to do with Monday. Monday is a federal holiday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and Normal has all federal holidays off. So there will be no live Normal Show Live on Monday. For those of you in the state of Virginia, there's some very important information you need to know. On Monday, Virginia Normal is having a lobby day at the Virginia State Capitol from 9 a.m. to noon. And again, you can go to Virginia Normal up on Facebook to find out more information about that and RSVP. And it just happens to coincide with another thing happening on Monday, and that is the Virginia legislature is State Delegate Harvey Morgan has introduced legislature House Bill 1443, which would decriminalize marijuana in the state of Virginia. Yes, so that'll be on Monday, January 17th at the, Hearing Room C. So you can go to the lobby day and do all the lobbying and all of the protesting there from 9 to noon. And then after that, head right over to the state capitol or go inside the state capitol because the lobby day is right there at the state capitol. Go into the capitol and attend this hearing and give your support for HB 1443. For more information about this, you can visit Virginia Normal on Facebook or go to virginianormal.org. You can also email sabrina@normal.org for more information. That's Monday, Martin Luther King Day in the state of Virginia. Come out and support decriminalization.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Also by Barry McCaffrey, General Barry McCaffrey, I should say, retired general, military analyst at NBC, and most importantly for this conversation, former National Drug Policy Director, very familiar with this conversation.
Normal Show Live, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
General, I'm going to begin with you.
Everybody's got a habit, some good, some bad, to reach the comfort zone.
Since 1970, Normal has been fighting for the rights of all adults who use cannabis responsibly. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. Every second Friday of the month, we bring that working relationship to the Normal Daily Audio Stash with our special guest, Senior Editor Dave Bienenstock, author of the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, for our exclusive monthly preview of this month's issue of High Times.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's 34 after the hour. We're joined by Dave Bienenstock, who's now out here on the West Coast with us. How you doing, Dave?
Oh, always a pleasure, Russ. How are you doing?
Fantastic. I have to admit, though, I'm flying blind a little bit for today's show in that my copy of High Times hasn't arrived yet. Normally, I get it like the Thursday or the Wednesday before we do our interview, but there's some sort of delay. Maybe all the weather and stuff has delayed the magazine coming out here to the West, but maybe give us an idea what we got to look forward to in this next issue of High Times.
Oh, well, you know, first of all, I know that a shipment is on its way to you at breakneck speed. We've advised them to still follow all traffic regulations, but they're going to get you your copy
well, good.
As fast as legally possible. And this will be, of course, our new March issue because publishing is in the future. So looking forward to it, a lot of great stuff, particularly for our growers out there. We're going inside what they're calling a resin factory, just a tremendous, really next step advanced indoor grow room that's really bringing things up to like a professional level as marijuana growing becomes a more professional industry.
So
that's something we're definitely excited about, and I know our readers are excited about. And we also have a lot of tips and tricks for the hobbyist in the same issue. At the same time, a little more to your interest, maybe, as I have my sort of aftermath of Prop 19 feature. What went right? What went wrong? You know, I mean, the biggest thing that went wrong is that we didn't win. But I think people will – let me put it this way. The title is Stepping Stone, because I really see Prop 19 as a stepping stone that got us a level closer to where we want to be, in a variety of ways, and that's looking forward to the future, but that's also just right now and changing people's opinions right now and people's vision of what's possible. I really think it took Prop 19 to show a lot of people what was possible, and once they see what's possible, turning that into a reality, that's the next step.
Absolutely.
But you know. That's one man's opinion. And then our interview this month, always one of my favorite sections, is Faith Evans, a great R&B legend.
Sure.
So we're coming at you from all angles again. You know, everybody likes to smoke pot, so we have to have a little something for everybody.
Oh, excellent. And, of course, you're also working on the High Times Medical Cannabis Quarterly. I imagine it must be pretty soon for a new edition of that to be coming out.
The leisurely pace of a quarterly is definitely nice sometimes and a little frustrating other times, but I really try to put a lot into each issue because we only do get to make four a year. I'll say the one that's on newsstands right now, the story I'm hearing a lot about is we did an article about raw cannabis as a medicine, and particularly people who are juicing raw cannabis. It's a long story that follows one particular woman's journey from being having just a variety of very serious illnesses and treating herself this way. And what the article gets into is basically it doesn't get you high, but the same way that raw foods have enzymes and active ingredients that when you heat those foods are lost. Raw cannabis has cannabinoids and acid, like it's technical in certain ways. Well explained in the article, but there's things like THCA and precursors to CBD that are found in raw cannabis in very large amounts that once you heat them can be lost, whereas the heating also creates very large amounts of THC, which is what produces a high. So the raw cannabis, it's something that's really on the cutting edge right now, and yet it's something that's always been around. And it was probably the first way that people interacted with this plant was just by eating it raw. So that's been interesting. And then, you know, in the same issue, we have the Israeli medical marijuana program is really coming of age. We have a piece from Normal's Paul Armentano about it's called Fear versus Facts, and it really helps you argue with somebody in your family or your workplace, or that you're trying to a policymaker and counteract some of the myths about medical marijuana, so that we can get our side of the story out there forcefully.
That's excellent.
And of course, we're working on the next issue right now. So.
All right. Well, of course,
everything never ends.
I was going to say, everyone knows that they can get a look at High Times by going to hightimes.com. Does the Medical Quarterly have a different website or a way that people can access it?
Yeah, you can go to hightimes.com/MedMJ, M-E-D-M-J. Mm-hmm. We also have a Facebook page for both magazines. They won't let you use the word marijuana in your Facebook name, so it's High Times. You'll find it if you look for High Times Medical, basically, on Facebook.
Okay. We're speaking with Dave Bienenstock. He's a West Coast editor of High Times Magazine. And, of course, one thing that I'm looking forward to is coming up this spring, April, I believe, 2nd, is the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, and you're moving it to Denver. Can you give us a little information about how people can get involved and what's going to be going on at this Medical Cannabis Cup?
Sure. All the information you would need, at least to get started, is at medcancup.com. It's going to be in Denver in April. I personally can say I have never been in the city of Denver, so I am looking forward to the event on a variety of levels. And I'm sure, you know, regular listeners of your show know this, but it's something that I think the rest of the world is catching up to, that Denver and Colorado is really at the cutting edge of regulating marijuana use, medical marijuana use to start. But if you really look at what's happening in Colorado, their state government is saying it's time to do this right, and we're gonna sit at the table too, and we're gonna take responsibility for doing this. And I think that creates a tremendous opportunity to move things forward again in a very responsible way, hand in hand with, you know, we've been so afraid, pot smokers and pot people can be forgiven for thinking the scariest words really are, we're here from the government, we're here to help. But you know, that may be the case in Colorado. And it's certainly a place that, you know, I'm personally just interested to go there and see it for myself.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. I've been to Denver many times, having lived out here in the West, but having visited this last time in December, I was just amazed by the level at which the cannabis industry has developed there in Denver and the involvement amongst the politicians. I mean, they've got a sitting city councilman who is running for mayor who is openly pro-legalization. So it's an amazing time up in the Rocky Mountains there. We do have a question coming from our chat room wondering if you guys have an age limit on the Medical Cannabis Cup.
You know, I can't say, I don't know offhand, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm hoping that information is at medcancup.com.
Yeah, medcancup.com is the website for the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. Check that out for more information. And, David, before we let you go, I wanted to get your take on one of the stories that's out there, because this has to do with journalism and the media. And we've got a whole lot of media commentators now that are coming down on marijuana use by the Arizona shooter, Jared Loughner. I'm wondering if High Times at any time is going to take an in-depth look at this subject, this Arizona shooter, or the subject of pot and schizophrenia in a future issue.
You know, I can tell you that's a discussion that I was having this morning with somebody about us wanting to get into that and cover that. And of course, it's ridiculous and it's offensive to the millions of people who use marijuana safely and don't harm anyone. And it would be nice to be able to just dismiss it if we knew that these arguments weren't powerful to, you know, people who don't know about cannabis. It sounds very reasonable. You use drugs and you go crazy and you kill somebody. But the facts don't bear it out. And it's just, you know, I, without getting into the gun control issue, it's like, reflexively, to have the same people saying guns aren't the problem and violence, you know, rhetoric isn't the problem. Okay, you can make both of those arguments, but you can't pick and choose who you want to scapegoat.
You know,
it's like, how about no scapegoat?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing is just, I mean, it's an old point to make, but causation and correlation aren't the same thing, and I can sell you some tiger repellent if you don't understand what I'm saying, because
that's
I
right.
wear tiger repellent every day, people, and I have never been
mauled by a tiger.
Therefore, it works.
If only you could have given some of that to Roy of Siegfried and Roy, he'd be safer. he'd be better off today.
Dave, no doubt.
Dave Bienenstock is the senior West Coast editor for High Times Magazine and joins us on the second Friday of every month to give us a preview of High Times Magazine. The new issue is coming out. It's the March issue. Should be on newsstands shortly. For those of you who are subscribed, should be in your mailbox on its way or have already reached you. And please, everyone, support High Times Magazine. They've been around the longest. They've given the most support to the marijuana movement and to Normal specifically. And together, we're going to end this prohibition. Thanks a lot, Dave, for being here.
Always a pleasure, Russ. Great show, and I'll be listening after I hang up.
All right, thanks. Take it easy.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for making pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collective wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
The Army Pirates here.
The Pirate King.
You know why we pirates love the Normal Show? Because it's always smoking matey.
This is Normal Show Live.
To be the Pirate King.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 47 after the hour here, and we've got a terrible story to have to break to you here. Jennifer Alexander from TheExaminer.com is covering this story about the state of Oregon seeking to impose drug testing on those who apply for assistance. That'd be your welfare, your unemployment, any sort of government assistance. They would want to drug test you for that. And let's go to the article here. I'll give you some of the particulars about the bill number. Senate Bill 538 in the Oregon legislature, and well, there's another bill that's slightly different, so we'll come to that in a second. But Senate Bill 538, sponsored by Senator Starr of Hillsborough, would require drug testing for all adult applicants and recipients for public assistance. If the applicant or recipient fails the drug test, their benefits will be revoked. And of course, we're talking about urine testing here, where someone could test positive for marijuana metabolites for weeks or month in the case of chronic users. So even if someone did suddenly become unemployed and quit using marijuana so they could get their unemployment, they might have to go without a check for a month or so while their system cleans out. Now, it should be noted that medical marijuana patients would not fall under this bill because it exempts those that are allowed by law as defined in Oregon Chapter 475. That's the Medical Marijuana Act. However, medical marijuana patients would still be subject to the drug tests and would lose their benefits if they failed for any other substance of abuse. So that is problematic. Now, some of the public assistance that we're talking about, temporary aid to needy families, that's about 75,000 Oregonians. Jobs participants, it's a jobs program. There's about 16,000 people in that program. Employment-related daycare, that's 10,000. 10,000 people, temporary assistance to domestic violence survivors, about 500 folks, statewide supplemental nutrition assistance program, about 740,000, food stamps, about 500,000 people, children and families supplemental nutritional assistance program, about 636,000, unemployment, about 200,000 unemployed in Oregon, Oregon health plan, that's about 585,000, refugees, about 820 refugees in this state, and the Oregon supplemental income program, SSI, and Oregon Supplemental Income Program, medical, foster care, energy assistant, reduced school lunch, and any functions that may be delegated by the Director of Human Services by or in accordance with federal and state laws. What this means is we could be testing anywhere from 200 to 600, 700, 800,000 Oregonians, million perhaps, Oregonians who get some form of state assistance. Now, the American Civil Liberties Union documented the reasons why they're opposed to this, and part of the reason why is the cost. The drug test costs about $42, and that was back in 2008, so maybe it's more than that. So even if they were only going to test the 200,000 people who are on unemployment in the state of Oregon, just those 200,000 would cost about $8.4 million in more expenditures. In a state where we're complaining about having severe budget deficits, about spending going out of control, we've decided to here with this bill, we'd spend another $8.4 million on drug testing these people. Now, if they go forward with this law, it's bound to fall in the courts as well. Michigan tried to do this a couple years ago, have a mandatory drug testing policy, and it was struck down in the U.S. District Courts. And this was in the Sixth Circuit that it was struck down because it's unconstitutional based on our Fourth Amendment rights. What you're saying here is if someone goes on state assistance, they are guilty of using drugs until they prove themselves to be innocent. It's despicable and it's disgusting. In stopping this, the judge that was ruling on this in the Sixth Circuit, Judge Victoria Roberts ruled the state's rationale for testing welfare recipients, quote, could be used for testing the parents of all children who received Medicaid, state emergency relief, educational grants or loans, public education, or any other benefit from the state, end quote. Basically, what she was saying was based on this justification, you could have the state drug testing just about every one of its citizens, because when you really drill down to it, just about everybody in the state receive some sort of benefit from the public, going to public schools, going to public university, using public roads. All of these are public benefits, and doing this would open up the door for drug testing everyone. But this isn't just the state of Oregon that's thinking about this. Rick Scott, the new governor in the state of Florida, wants to drug test welfare recipients. We have a story from Fox News going back to 2009 talking about West Virginia, Kansas, Oklahoma, Arizona, all trying to implement statutes that would drug test recipients of unemployment or other benefits. Now, the problem with this is that they find so few people that fail the drug tests that you're mostly just wasting the money, wasting the state taxpayers' money trying to drug test them in the first place. When Michigan tried to do this, the one that was struck down, when Michigan did have this in effect, they had mandatory testing in three welfare offices. Out of 258 new and continuing applicants tested, 21 tested positive for illicit substances. And of those 21, 18 of them tested positive for marijuana only. So for all that drug testing, you want to make sure the people on unemployment just aren't sitting on their butts and doing drugs. Out of 258 of them, you only got 21 people who are using any sort of drugs, less than 10%. And of that, you only had three that were using anything other than marijuana. The other problem with this drug testing for recipients is it doesn't drug test for alcohol. By God, if you're getting unemployment, if you're getting welfare, if you're getting food stamps, drink all you like. Go get a 12-pack. Go get a case. Make it Miller time. It's time for a Coors Light, man. Go ahead and pound the Seagrams. Doesn't matter if you get drunk as a skunk, something we know leads to domestic violence, something we know leads to drunk driving on the roads, something we know leads to people having problems keeping a job or getting hired, coming in with hangovers or drunk as they might be. We know all of this, but by God, nobody out there is talking about putting a bill in the Oregon legislature to test people for alcohol if they're using food stamps or if they're using any sort of state assistance. This is once again the discrimination against cannabis and its users, and it's got to stop. what these people think they're doing, and they have good intentions. They always have good intentions. The path to hell is paved with good intentions. This Representative Starr seems to think that people that are unemployed need to have incentive to stop using drugs. And the reason that they're unemployed is because they were drug users. Well, that's just not the case. The state of Oregon is currently suffering some of the highest unemployment rates in the entire nation, along with Michigan. I believe we're around 10% right now. In the Portland area right now, it's around 12% unemployment. One out of eight people looking for work who once worked can't find it. And we find furthermore that people are underemployed in this state to rates that are approaching 25%. It's not that marijuana use, drug taking in any form is causing massive unemployment. It's the shipping of our jobs overseas, and it's the continuing policies of our government that reward Wall Street while ignoring Main Street. That's what the problem is with unemployment. And if you really want to get Oregonians back to work, Representative Starr, how about legalizing our hemp industry? We already legalized hemp in the state of Oregon, but nobody can move forward with it because of the federal DEA ban on it. Why not change the hemp law to not require any sort of DEA license and allow entrepreneurs to start setting up hemp farming in the state of Oregon? How about we had Measure 74 that we tried to pass that would create jobs for dozens, maybe scores, maybe hundreds of Oregonians in the production of medical marijuana, in the packaging of and trimming of medical marijuana, in the distribution of medical marijuana, but that didn't pass, and partially because legislators like you are so afraid of California and Colorado that you can't imagine a well-regulated, organized system of medical marijuana distribution. We've got the industry. We've got the jobs. We can get people off of federal assistance. We can get people off of state assistance. We can get people off of food stamps. How much could we feed Oregonians if we had hemp crops that were also producing hemp seed that could produce all sorts of great foods out there for those people? How much could we save in the state of Oregon by converting the state vehicles to using hemp biodiesel instead of having to use other forms of biodiesel or petrogas? There is so much in the hemp plant, in cannabis, in medical marijuana that can end the problems that you see. The problems of unemployment, the problems of people going on welfare, the problems of kids that need assistance. We can help end those problems by legalizing the one growth industry we've got in this country, medical marijuana and industrial hemp. And furthermore, trying to drug test people to base whether or not they're going to get assistance, it reads one way when you're talking about the adults. But don't forget, this talks about all sorts of state assistance. This talks about foster care families getting their reimbursements. This talks about kids being able to get on the health plan. So if we do have someone who maybe tests positive for smoking marijuana or tests positive for some other drug, you want to punish their children? You want to make sure their children don't get to eat because mommy and daddy can't get the food stamps because they might have smoked a joint? You want to continue to punish the children by mommy and daddy not being able to get their unemployment check and pay the rent? What, you want to have more homeless children in the state of Oregon, Representative Starr? Because that's what these drug testing things lead to. You seem to think it's some sort of incentive. Like people think rationally about this, that they'll think, well, you know, I want to get my unemployment so I won't smoke weed. No, what they'll do is they'll say, well, I want to get my unemployment so I can't smoke weed, so how about I do some spice or K2? I can't test positive for weed, so how about I do some meth or some coke or get really drunk on the weekend? How about I go to my doctor and find some sort of pharmaceutical pill that he can get for me that'll make me feel good without having to test positive and lose my unemployment insurance? That's what happens. You don't really incentivize people to use or not use cannabis based on policy. We've seen that. Countries that have strict drug laws versus countries that have lenient drug laws, we see no correlation about their rates of use. America and New Zealand have some of the highest rates of use in the world and some of the strictest marijuana laws. And yet places like the Netherlands and Portugal that are very lenient on marijuana and other drugs have some of the lowest drug use rates in the world. It's time to be sensible about this and not try to look for some sort of magic bullet theory that's going to end the abuse of welfare, the abuse of unemployment, or the abuse of drugs. You can't tie these things together, Representative Starr, and all of us at Normal are going to be fighting you in Oregon and fighting people like you in all the other states that continue to try to see marijuana use as something bad and evil that needs to be eradicated. It is something good and beneficial that needs to be regulated. I'm Radical Russ for Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John. Thanks for joining us for Hour 1. Stay tuned for Hour 2. Toker Talk Radio will take your calls on this subject and more. Have yourself a great weekend. Check me out at the Tillicum Club. I'll be playing tonight. Check out the stream. I'll be in one of the windows. We'll see you on Tuesday. No show on Monday. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.